you know any places any Sega nerds hang out around here?
Hello and welcome to the Sega Nerdcast, episode 103. I'm Chrissy, editor of Sega Nerds, and with me this week are my buddies, the Requiem and Morrison. How's it going, fellas?
Good evening.
How are you?
Not too bad. We're also joined by special guest, Stephen Frost. How's it going, Stephen?
Good. How is everyone doing tonight?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Fine.
So we're doing things a little bit different this week. As some of our readers and listeners might know, we're having a Batman versus Superman kind of showdown on the website this month in celebration of Batman versus Superman the movie, where we're going and reviewing all the different Batman and Superman games that were released on Sega consoles. But we wanted to take a special kind of break and talk about the actual movie itself that was released in theaters last week. We all went to go see it, and we wanted to kind of discuss it. So we're going to break it all down in about five rounds. Round one, we're going to basically just give a general thumbs up or thumbs down, quickly talk about that. In round two, we're going to talk about the things that we liked about the movie. Then round three, we're going to talk about the things we disliked. Round four, we're going to talk about our thoughts on the critical response, because I'm sure everyone out there knows the game or the movie was pretty much critically panned almost universally. A lot of people just did not like the movie. But we're going to talk about some of the critiques and stuff of that. And then to close out the show in round five, we will talk about our thoughts on the future of the DC movie universe, kind of moving on from here. The movie set up a lot of different things, and there's lots of different places where they're going to go from here. And so we're going to talk about that, maybe compare it to Marvel, who knows.
First and foremost, before we get into this, I want to make sure we preface, this is going to be a 100% spoiler-filled discussion.
Yes, yeah.
So if you're hoping for a spoiler-free review, not the place for it. Watch the movie first if you're someone that gives a shit about that, because we don't.
Exactly. So if you have not... Oh, go ahead, Steven.
Oh, I just say something before we... I just wanted to shout out, because I think you guys appreciate too this, but I have a couple friends who are very diehard Batman, Superman fans, and what was great about my first showing is that the two of them, I have to do a shout out to BJ and his brother, but they basically reserved a theater for it.
Wow.
And so they decided, being the big fans that they are, they bought out an entire theater, and then they invited some close friends. Yeah. So it was great, because it was the best viewing for that, because they're so diehard that they didn't really want to deal with the lines. They didn't want to deal with the kid in like row three who keeps getting up and down. And
what kind of format it was a great did you see it in?
It was just a standard format, standard digital format. So
I thought it was like you were not IMAX theater. It's like Jesus
no,
Christ.
No, 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 that's for Justice League. No, yeah. I just had to do a shout out for them, because that was like the optimum way, I think, to view it, where you're watching it with like I think 16 of your friends who are also big fans of comics and Batman, Superman. So it was just a great experience overall.
That probably made the movie a lot more fun to watch as well, I'd imagine.
It didn't hurt.
It's always fun to watch something with a lot of like really hardcore fans. It makes the movie or whatever you're watching, or it makes it all the more better. So that would be a lot of fun. That's pretty cool.
All the more better.
Yeah. That's a phrase.
It's all the gooderest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Best.
Yeah. So let's get into round one. And let's go around and just give our overall thumbs up or thumbs down, and kind of quickly just summarize why we, kind of give it that rating. So, Steven, since you're our guest, we'll let you go first.
So I'm going to have to say, I'm sort of like in the, you know, three-quarter thumbs up thing, if that is actually an existing. Yeah, it's like you know, not halfway, like halfway, but sort of like, you know, three-quarter. Because, you know, going to these things, these spectacle movies, and this is really a summer movie. I mean, granted, they didn't launch in the summer because they didn't want to deal with Civil War and all that other stuff that's going on. And they were smart to do so. But this really is a popcorn movie, you know, a traditional summer movie. And when I go to see those, I have slightly different expectations than, you know, if I were to go see something else a little bit more serious or whatnot. And I think it delivered on that. Yes, did I have issues as a comic fan, as a moviegoer? I had issues that we'll go, you know, we can go over. But in the end, I really thoroughly enjoyed the experience. I ended up watching it again the second day on Friday, you know, just because I was on a high from watching it. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there are some really good scenes in there. There's a good job, I think, over through the cast, especially Gal, and I think Zach did a good job for what he normally does in relation to these types of movies. So, yeah, I guess I would have to do a three-quarters thumbs up for me.
Nice. Blake?
Okay. I would say thumbs up. I'm not going to get in as much details. We're going to go into some more details in a bit, but
yeah,
it's not a perfect movie. But my issues with it, as I've considered it over the weekend, everything I saw on Friday night, my issues with it are more nitpicky. There's a lot of little nitpicky things that add up to quite a bit. But overall, I still think it's a thumbs up movie for me.
Fair enough. And Marson.
Yeah, I would say I'm like the others. It's not like an amazing movie. But it's not. I don't think it deserves to be panned like the critics have given it. I mean, and then I was sitting next to like this one other person that just got up and said, "It's a shit," and walked out of the movie theater. But yeah, I was like, dude,
how do you walk out of that? Like, seriously.
Kind of like, I understand, you know, it looked a little convoluted at times, like you know, they flashed back, flashed forward. Like you said, Chris, you mentioned before that you weren't sure if you were in Gotham or Metropolis or whatever the hell they were. Sometimes they had, like, these issues. But I thought it was good, and I wasn't, like, one of those people. Maybe that's why I wasn't affected by it, was, you know, the overanalysis of the trailers when they released it, and they were watching it, like, 10, 15, 20 times. They're getting hyped up, and then when you get to the movie, they're a little disappointed because they were overanalyzing it. They built up these expectations, and then they were disappointed, but I was not one of those people. I saw the trailer once, and I was like interested in it because I do love Batman, Superman. I was never like the biggest fan, so I didn't really care for him. So I was like, yeah, it's a cool superhero movie. I'll go see it. And then I enjoyed it because I had little to no expectations on, you know, what I was about to see. But I mean, Ben Affleck, I think, is a great, great Batman. Henry Cavill. Cavill, I don't know how you say his name. He's a great Superman. Amy Adams, great Cavill, Lois Lane. Yeah. I even like Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor. Like, I know there were people who didn't, you know, enjoy his performance, but I think it was a spot-on, like, you know, crazy Lex Luthor. Like, I'm pretty sure that's how he's portrayed in the early comic books. Not so much, you know, the rich, suave billionaire, you know, person in the later iterations that they've released, but yeah, that's my long-winded.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll come back to his performance at some point during the discussion.
Yeah.
So you gave it a thumbs up as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm going to give it a thumbs up as well. I went into it knowing very, very little about this movie. I tried to stay away from all the trailers. I didn't read any articles about it. So, I mean, the most I really knew about it was the cast of Ben Affleck, Jesse Eisenberg. I didn't even know who Gal Gadot was or anything about her as Wonder Woman beforehand.
I forgot about her, yeah.
So coming into it, like I said, I didn't really have a lot of expectations. Coming in and reading or seeing just all the negative stuff going on Facebook, it it kind of put me in a place where I set my expectations kind of lower. I wasn't coming in expecting to be blown away. But at the same time, I didn't think it was going to be as bad as everyone was making it out to be, because there was a lot of people that were just talking nonsense about the movie who hadn't even yet seen it. It was just kind of weird to see all of that, and it made me almost kind of think that it's just one of those things that it's a weird thing what happens on the internet and social media, where people just almost get this like hive mind where it becomes like trendy to either hate on something for whatever reason.
They're looking for those likes.
Yeah, and I think
this is sort of like appreciation.
I call it the NeoGAF syndrome in a little bit, where it's like if there's a certain mentality and a vast majority of it is starting that way, the single person or a small minority who comes in to try to say something opposing to that just gets moshed most of the time. So it's really hard to to come in there and try to go against that giant wave that's already established, you know?
I remember going on NeoGAF a long time ago and telling everyone about how awesome Binary Domain was and how they should all be playing it, and everyone got really mad at me, and I got banned from NeoGAF. Bro, it was really weird. Going back to the movie, before we get on to the next round, like Marcel, you were saying, just kind of overall, I think the movie struggled a little bit in the early part, maybe like the first act or so, just kind of establishing itself and where it was going. There was just so many different storylines kind of working at the same time. And there were times where I just didn't know where we were at, in whether it was Gotham or whether it was Metropolis. I didn't realize until there was an aerial shot of both cities that the cities were like next to each other. Known that at all. I don't know if that's like canon from the comic books, if they're that close to each other or what. But once it kind of got past that setup, I thought it really kind of hit its groove, and the latter half of the movie I thought really, really was awesome, especially once it started really getting some of the action scenes and stuff like that. So overall, I thought it was a good movie. Definitely a lot better than what many people have been giving it credit for. So with that said, let's get into round two and talk about some of the positive things about this movie, some of the things that we liked. So Requiem, you're up first on this one.
Okay, so stuff that I liked. All right. We've already touched on this a little bit. I did like most of the performances in the movie. I thought Ben Affleck was great. Back when he was announced for the part, my first knee-jerk reaction was no, and then when
Daredevil.
Yeah, exactly. Daredevil. Yeah. I did come around after like maybe even that day or a couple days later after I heard the announcement. Like, well, he's actually a lot better, and I came around to thinking that he might be okay. And after watching this, I'm 100% behind the Batman franchise with him helming it. From the Bruce Wayne and Batman perspective, I'm not at a point where I'd say that I like him better than the Dark Knight series Batman and Christian Bale, but I think he has the potential to be better. So I'm really excited to see what they do with that series going forward. The returning cast from Super... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think he's the best Batman, surprisingly the best Batman since Michael Keaton. I thought
better than George Clooney?
He did a better job than Christian Bale, which was really surprising just because of how much respect I have for Bale. But I just thought that there wasn't a lot of depth to the character with when Christian Bale played him. And really, I guess you could say that, it's kind of tough because he was just so brooding all the time. And really, this was kind of the same. But I think, like you said, the potential is there. With Ben Affleck, I think he did a really good job. Physically, yeah. He looks like a badass. I mean,
he's
I've never
intense.
Yeah,
this Batman. If you haven't seen it and are listening to a spoiler cast, okay, shame on you. But this Batman is intense. This Batman whoops some serious ass.
He's like branding dudes.
Yeah, he doesn't screw around.
Killing people.
It's awesome. So yeah, I was really, really excited for the way he turned out. Otherwise, standout performances. Jeremy Irons as Alfred was great. Gal Gadot I'm happy with her as Wonder Woman. She didn't have as big a part, but I'm looking forward to seeing more of her in her.
I'm curious, does Wonder Woman have an accent? Like, is she supposed to be? Because I always thought, like, she was supposed to be like the, like, Captain America, because they had her in, like, you know, the red, white, and blue. And,
she's Amazonian, so you tell me what an Amazon
is. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, they sound exactly like Gal.
Okay. Yeah, you know what, yeah.
So she's Israeli, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm not sure how close that would be to a Greek accent if you're going to try to approximate whatever a Themyscira Amazon accent would be. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We'll say that's exactly
I'm not an anthropologist.
Yeah. So other than that, one thing I really like about this movie, and I didn't think about this going in, this movie is structured so much differently than any other comic book movie I think I may have ever seen.
Hmm.
It's you watch the previews and you think, oh man, these Batman Superman fights in this movie are going to be amazing, and you know, they did some clever editing in the trailers to make you think that there's all these different ways they're going to fight each other, and you're going to get like 45 minutes to an hour's worth of them just beating the hell out of each other. And that's not what this movie is. Really, the beginning, well, most of the movie until, let's say, the very last act of the movie is like these two parallel stories of Batman and Superman on this collision course with each other. And they kind of bounce off each other a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne, or once as Batman and Superman, but they don't butt heads yet. And I thought it was really interesting to see, yeah, those two positioned on this collision course, and then finally when they do fight at the end, it had a lot more impact than a lot of other superhero fight scenes have had in other movies. Maybe Civil War will have something like this with Iron Man versus Captain America. But this one being the first one, it was tonally different. It was narratively different when they fought. There was a much more gravity to the fight. It's, you know, you watch Avengers and Thor versus Hulk. It's like, yeah, Thor's beating up Hulk. And it's awesome. And they're, you know, punching people through stuff. And it's kind of funny. But there's not much gravity to the situation. When Batman and Superman are fighting each other, and I'm going to admit this, these are my two favorite characters. So I'm fanboying out on it. When those two are fighting, the way this has been set up, it almost was like I wasn't excited watching them fight each other. I was like,
it's like when your mom and dad are fighting.
Yeah, exactly. I think I put that on Twitter at one point. So it's almost like watching your mom and dad feed each other. Because I love these two characters, and they are out. Batman's out there to kill Superman. This isn't about trying to prove that he's right. It's not about a difference of opinion on how things should be. He's out there to kill him. And I was sitting there watching this thinking, oh my gosh, God, please just stop. You know, it was a different emotional reaction for me.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah, I'm not. Guys. And it's weird. It's very strange. Because I've read, you know, comics where they fight each other, read The Dark Knight Returns, seen TV shows and other things where Batman and Superman fight each other. This isn't the first time they've done this. But this time, the way they set up, that was the first time I've ever had an emotional reaction to it like that, where I was like, oh my God, I just want them to stop. Because it was heartbreaking the way that fight
went. It was really violent.
It was rough.
They really, like, I mean, took it to like the 10th degree with that fight. I was really impressed. That, and you're right, I mean, I think everything you said, like all the build up that led up to that one battle was really awesome. I think one of the interesting parts about the movie too, and kind of to add on to what you're saying about it, there really wasn't any humor in the movie. There wasn't a character that kind of gave that comedy and brought that like levity to the movie. From the very beginning, it was a very serious tone. And it kind of kept that throughout, and even ended on you know, a more like somber note, and so there wasn't any of that, so it kind of kept you in that emotional state throughout. Well,
with the exception of like Jeremy Irons as Alfred, because he occasionally had a little sass to him. He had a couple of lines here and there that were, you know, they weren't like Marvel, like, they're you know having banter. It wasn't like that really, but I wouldn't say. But it was dark. Like it was the antithesis of a Marvel movie. You know, but that's good. I don't want it to be a Marvel movie. Yeah. You know, like make your own. You know, film and don't copy it just because you know Marvel's movies are successful. Do your own, do your own thing. But yeah, sorry.
Rekum, did you have anything else to add?
I will touch on something Martian just said. As far as other characters, I do think they tried to inject some humor with Perry White. I think he was funny. He's very, you know, that's Lawrence Fishburne's character. As the boss, as Clark's boss, as Lois's boss, I think he was funny in his commanding role of telling them off, especially telling Lois off when she's trying to, you know, get better airline tickets and stuff. I thought some of that was kind of funny. They did interject a joke with Superman's mother when Batman rescues her at one point.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there's a little bit of it, and I think that...
But it wasn't like slapstick, like you get...
No. It's still not anything on like the level of Marvel or something like that. But I think this is also the reason why they chose to do Lex Luthor the way they did. Because if they had the heavy-handed businessman, you know, that most people who are fans of the comic know as Lex Luthor in this movie, you would have had this very flat... And you know, everyone in the movie would have been this very angry, brooding character, and I think that's why they decided to do Lex Luthor the way they did it. But I do want to point out, Lex Luthor in this movie is Lex Jr. He's Alexander Luthor, who is a different character from the comics. That's not the same character that everyone knows as the bald Lex Luthor, green and purple armored suit. That sort of thing. So I think
I kind of wondered about that because he talks about his dad building the business.
Right. It implies that he's dead. But I suspect very heavily. I won't guarantee, but my suspicion is that the real Lex Luthor, Lex the father, is at some point going to show up in this universe, in whatever form. Who knows? But I have a feeling that he will show up and will be cast as someone else. This other guy.
So they shave his head at the end of the movie then.
I don't know. That doesn't make sense. I don't know of any prison that shaved your head when you walked
well,
in.
Well, it made me think that like that was his transformation into kind of the Lex that we.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
And that may be what they do. But, I mean, Alexander Luthor, Lex Jr., is a different character. He was the Lex Luthor in the comics during the Death of Superman Doomsday fight. So that may have also been why they put him in it at this point because of the Doomsday fight at the end. But I suspect that's why they did it. They didn't want to have their heavy-handed, bald, Bryan Cranston fan favorite cast as Lex Luthor in this movie because it would have made it too flat. It would have made it too dark. And they wanted something else in there to liven the mood. Were they successful at that? Well, I haven't got to my dislikes yet. But, maybe it was successful in breaking up that broodiness, but as far as the character goes, we'll talk about that in a bit. But that's it. That's it for me.
Steven, you got there for a minute. What were some of the things that you liked?
I have to agree. You know, I really liked most of the characters. You know, the ones that carried over from Man of Steel, and you know, and I think that. Affleck's portrayal of Batman was really good. I had a good feeling. You know, it's like you look for those people. You know, those people who are sort of like the underdogs and being cast for these roles. And you know, it's kind of like Chris Evans when you know from the Human Torch to Captain America and things like that. You know, like people can learn from some of the mistakes that they've had in the past. And so, I actually, from the beginning when they cast him, I had really good feelings, and I thought that he was going to deliver on something really good for Batman after the lessons that he had from Daredevil and just being to the movies industry as a whole. So I'm really happy with this performance. You know, across the board, I think it was a good selection of casting of people. I think that the end result as far as the battles and the sequences were really done well by Zach and just the direction, everything. I mean, he's been good at that. He's been doing comic book, you know, stuff for a while now, so he knows how to kind of capture that kind of flair and that those camera angles that you love to see in the panels of comic books. So I thought that was really good. I liked how they tried, you know, with what they could to delve a little bit more into the sort of the characters and their sort of motives for doing stuff. I mean, it was tough. We have a lot of characters on the screen and, you know, and trying to fill the screen time with all of them. But I think they did do a good job of kind of peering into that a little bit more. And of course, focusing on Superman and Batman and sort of underlying it. And I think they did a relatively good job kind of piecing together Batman. I mean, we'll get to the things that we dislike in a minute, but I think overall that journey of them being on the brink or on the edge of kind of like coming at each other and Lex kind of pushing them over that cliff really in a way was an interesting journey and it sort of made sense from my perspective. And, you know, I liked the intro. I mean, we haven't really talked about the intro sequence. For those that haven't seen the movie, it's kind of like an origin-esque piece that he's kind of done. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Watchmen as far as trying to encapsulate what has happened in the past, you know, in sort of a thematic and kind of wasting too much screen time, right? Because you're doing it during the credits roll kind of thing at the start of the movie. So I thought that was pretty interesting and kind of clever way of, granted, we're yet going again over the Batman origin stuff, and I'm sure everyone in the world except maybe six people know what caused Batman to become Batman, but it was still kind of interesting to see the way that he was able to do that at the intro of the movie. I liked a lot of the sort of the character interactions. I love the moments where they kind of brought back in sort of the Man of Steel soundtrack. You know, they started using it a lot, but you know, those moments where Superman's talking with his mom or he's talking with other folks and it's those emotional moments that you can kind of hear that Man of Steel soundtrack in the background. I think it was a really nice contrast to the regular music that's in the movie, and it kind of just like brought those moments together and kind of made them a little bit more, you know, genuine, kind of endearing in that regard. So I think just the musical, the score and the soundtrack and the utilization of that was really good in this movie overall. So, you know, aside from that stuff, I think I have to agree with what, you know, other folks have been saying in that regard as far as the other things I like. So that's probably pretty much, you know, I'm on the same page with everyone else in that regard.
The Wonder Woman theme I thought was absolutely amazing when she came out. I forget the name of the song, but that completely like pumped me up. Like I remember getting chills like when that came on, and then it showed her on screen and starting to kick ass.
The whole crowd clapped when she showed up.
It's funny. Like,
fuck yeah, kick some ass.
Wonder Woman. Every showing, I think people have clapped. And what's interesting, Gal did a tweet. Sort of like a Q&A today for Wonder Woman, and one of the people on Twitter, like, you know, what did you think of that song? And she only knew the music when she saw sort of the final cut, I guess, of the movie. And she also said that when she saw it, she was just so like pumped when that music kicked in. She was like, she's saying, I couldn't stay still. I was so kind of excited by that. So that was kind of interesting to hear from her, you know.
That's pretty cool. So, Steven, you touched on a little bit about some of the shots and some of the ways that Zack Snyder kind of shot the movie. What were your thoughts on kind of how they played into the kind of Messiah style with Superman? There was a lot of kind of like really like slow motion shots, and they really played that angle up quite a bit in the movie. Do you think?
Yeah, no, I did. And I would say that in this case, he actually surprisingly did less slow-mo than I think he's done in most of his other movies. But it was interesting. I saw a comparison today to some of the sequences, you know, with sort of like biblical kind of artwork in relation to key sequences with Jesus and how the end sequence, how Wonder Woman and Batman are standing around Superman's body, and even the sequence where Batman is passing down the body of Superman to Wonder Woman, you know, the ground there. It was very, like, very biblical kind of references in that design. So
Good
that was
Friday
kind of interesting. And so, Yeah, and really, again, kind of adds that whole sort of Messiah thing, right? You've got, like, the big statue. You've got, like, you've got the opposing sides. You've got, like, this religious fervor of people like this. He's, you know, he's God. He's the Messiah. And then you've got this, you know, obviously, as all at and fighting against that. So it was very sort of I think he tried to keep in light as much as he could, but definitely a key component as far as themes in this movie. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and that one scene where that you were talking about with Batman passing Superman's body down after he died, I saw in the background that it looked like there were two crosses that were made out of – it looked like they had just formed out of the rubble in the background of scene. Yeah. And my wife noticed it too, and we didn't discuss it during the movie. We talked about it afterward. It was just something that we both noticed. So I don't it looked pretty obvious, so it seemed to be intentional, but just from I don't know necessarily what Zack Snyder was trying to, you know, portray with that, other than it being kind of having some like religious overtones and stuff that seem. But one of the funny things I thought that I kind of enjoyed about the movie was the underground fight scene. I don't know if you guys remember that when. Batman is trying to get into the Russian mafia. He's trying to kind of infiltrate that. Do you guys remember that scene?
To save Martha or which? Oh no!
Towards the beginning of the movie, you know, the guy who's working for I guess he's working for Luthor, right? Lex Luthor. Russian.
I'm having trouble remembering it too. I don't remember.
Okay, well, anyway, so there's a scene where he's basically Batman or Bruce Wayne has to go underground, and there's a fight going on. It's this black guy.
Oh, the Fight Club thing. The Fight Club, yeah.
All right.
Okay,
so maybe I should have said that. But anyway, so the guy that ends up getting knocked out is an actual UFC fighter. His name's Todd Duffy. And the only other movie that he's been, it was...
Expendables?
Never Back Down 2. And he got, I'm pretty sure he got beat up in that one as well. But he got some of the most highlight reel knockouts that people have knocked him out. Like, just like in the movie. It was really funny to kind of see that because it was very close to real life. If you just go look at Google Todd Duffy gets knocked out. Especially the one by Frank Mir is the one that I think that was one of his last. It was very similar to what ended up happening in the movie. So when that happened, I kind of laughed to myself. But a lot of people probably didn't realize who it was. But as just the avid MMA fan, I saw him and I got kind of excited about that. I'm trying to think what
everyone else is looking at you.
Like, why the fuck is he laughing?
But I'm trying to think of some other things that I liked that haven't been mentioned. Just going back to Gal Gadot, I thought she played a really great role. I think just casting was done really, really phenomenally. I can't think of anyone that seemed to be miscast. Jeremy Irons was awesome as Alfred. I think the relationship between him and Bruce, and then him and Batman was really interesting to see, just kind of how they both worked together. Alfred played a much more kind of hands-on role in the actual missions that Bruce Wayne and Batman would go out on, even assuming control of the Batwing at one point, which I thought was pretty cool. And the overall fight scenes was great. We already touched on the one with you know, Batman and Superman, but the one between them and Doomsday, I thought was really, really awesome as well. Just to see how they all had to kind of come together, and ultimately defeat Doomsday. And we'll get into kind of, you know, what we thought of him here in a little bit. But another thing that we didn't touch on was some of the vignettes that they showed of each of the other Justice League members, kind of throughout.
Yep.
And that's kind of one of the things that the movie has been. You know, some of the negative reviews is they felt like it was basically just a means to set up this Justice League movie. So they took a moment where they uncovered all these encrypted files, and it showed video of Flash, of Aquaman, of Cyborg, and who am I missing?
That's it.
That was it. So what did you guys think
Wonder
of
Wonder Woman? But I mean, I thought it was. I think that might have been one of my. I don't know. I'm still debating on it, but I do see how people had issues with them trying to fit everything into this movie, because there are so many different parts that, you know, that are here. First, you have a new Batman, so you have to kind of quickly explain the origin of Batman. They throw in Wonder Woman, they introduce her, and then you got, you know, they show Justice League members, and I could see how people were kind of turned off by the fact that there was just so much thrown at them in like a 2.5 hour time span. But I think that was the first time I also saw the characters and who was portraying each Justice League member. I think with the exception of Aquaman, because I knew, I was like, hey, it's the guy from Game of Thrones. That's all I know him from.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah. I think he's a great Aquaman. Cyborg, I didn't really see. It was kind of, I don't know, I couldn't really tell. And you can't really tell based off
that.
It's
just his dad.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't really tell based off that. The Flash, same thing. And obviously Wonder Woman, perfectly cast. I thought I was excited for it, and I could see why. But, you know, Marvel also did things where they set things up. They have an entire schedule. They're like, all right, well, we're making Iron Man 2, but we're going to throw in this to, you know, to tease fans about the Avengers movie. They do it in those movies, too. Maybe they do it a bit better because they have multiple movies to tease it, as opposed to just a Batman versus Superman with a new Batman and, you know, and introducing all these characters. It does seem like it could be a little convoluted, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I didn't think it was, you know, that bad, but I could understand why some people were a bit turned off by it.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on.
Okay, never mind.
No, go ahead.
It's all right. Go ahead.
All right, it wasn't going to be that. Round three, what we disliked. So, Marcin, we'll come back to you. Why don't you start us off?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said we'll come back to you.
You!
Okay.
Yeah. Right now. We're coming back to you right now.
We're live on the air, Marcin.
Okay. That wasn't coffee I was drinking. Well, I do dislikes. I do think, like I mentioned before, I mean, I guess it just kind of, you know, seamlessly went into this. I do think that there were, I could see why there were people who were mad because they had so many things thrown in it. Like I said, Dark Knight Rises came out in, what, 2012-ish, 2013? And then 3 years later, you get a new Batman movie with a new Batman, and then, you know, you have to kind of tell his origin story, because it's Ben Affleck, it's not, how the fuck did I just forget his name?
Christian Bale.
I like Ben Affleck more than I liked Christian Bale. I also like the way Batman sounded in comparison to Christian Bale, because I think the gravelly voice that he forced, it just seemed a bit comedic, and you know, people have made fun of it in various YouTube videos. I like that the way they explained why he got that type of voice. Disliking it, like I said before, like I've been like saying bits here and there, like at the beginning. You know, like we said, the pacing may be a little bit, you know, it could be a bit more seamless, but. Yeah, I mean, overall, I liked it. Like, I didn't think it was, like, as horrible as people thought it to be. But, okay, there's one thing that I saw on the outline. I didn't like the way Doomsday looked, in my opinion. I thought he looked like a Lord of the Rings reject.
That's what my wife said.
I think everyone says that.
He looked like an orc. Yeah. You know, so I thought,
Thief troll.
Yeah. I was like, you could have done a bit better on Doomsday. Okay, one other thing. And now some shit's coming back to me. They killed Superman technically twice. They nuked the fuck out of him, right? And I thought he might have been dead. Now, he regenerated, and then they stabbed him, and they killed him again. And then at the end of the movie, you could, you know, how they had the bits of dirt rising from the thing. I was like, okay, well, that, what was the point of killing him? And then, you know, he's going to come back.
The thing is, though, I thought, okay, so Superman gets his power from the sun, right? That's how it works. Right?
Yes.
So wouldn't thermonuclear energy kind of be the same thing?
Like make him Super Saiyan?
Make him more powerful. I'm not a nuclear scientist or anything like that, but
I think you're thinking too deeply there, man.
Maybe.
We're not scientists here. But I think, what was I going to say? So, also, the time it took for him to get better when he got nuked, it was the same, like, fight scene, you know, and then he got stabbed by Doomsday, and was it like a day or two later, and then he gets resurrected? I mean, at the end of the movie.
But we still don't know. We don't know really what.
What else could it be? Like you won't zoom in on his coffin and then see dirt rising. It's not like, oh, he's still dead. You know, he's coming back.
I don't know.
Like, what else could they be teasing? I honestly don't think it could be anything else.
Pee Wee Herman's gonna jump out of that coffin.
Oh. No, I don't think so.
They have a movie on Netflix right now.
Yeah. But that was my problem. I was like, why does it take like this quickly for him to like, you know, recover from a nuclear explosion and then he gets stabbed in the chest?
Well, the sun was right there. It shone.
Yeah. I don't know.
He needed sunlight. Maybe he was outside the ozone layer.
I don't know. that was my other issue with it. But other than that,
I thought was pretty neat during the Batman versus Superman fight, and this is something that I guess going back to like looking too much into things is once Batman really weakened Superman to the point where he was almost like a normal person, Batman was beating the shit out of him because it seemed like Batman had, from a technical standpoint, Batman is a much better fighter than Superman. I don't know if Superman has ever really gone through any type of training other than just being really stronger than everyone else and can just beat the shit out of them just from pure strength. But Batman, like, once they kind of got an even playing field, Batman was able to just kick the crap out of them. And I thought that was kind of neat to see that, you know. And then once Superman kind of regained his strength again, he was able to beat up Batman just because he was just that much more powerful than him. But
I wouldn't call it fair, though, because, I mean, if you expose him to kryptonite, that's like him just getting kicked in the balls repeatedly. So it's not like...
I'm saying it just kind of like it brought him down to Batman's, I guess, level in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To the point. But I thought that was...
I don't know.
Kind of, I don't want to say before I forgot. Going back to Doomsday, what do you guys think about just his origin in this? Because in the comic books, I think he just came from another planet, didn't he? Didn't he just pretty much show up one day and just start beating the shit out of everything?
Yeah, he's in some sort of... He's imprisoned in something, like in a meteor or something. It's been a while since I read that one, but he's in a green suit.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right.
He's tied up, and then at some point busts out and then just starts killing everything.
See, he's totally like it, because he even came out of like this carcass type thing. Like, they made it just look like an orc. They put him in, like, a hibernating shell thing, and then he came out of it, the ooze, like how they were making the orcs in Lord of the Rings. So that didn't help matters at all. But, yeah.
But they basically, the way it ended up happening, though, is Jesse Eisenberg or Lex Luthor kind of had... It was basically a baby between him and what is his name from Man of
Zod.
Steel? Zod. And so it's like, basically, if Lex Luthor and Zod had a baby, it's what would
that would come out.
He's got his eyes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That whole sequence is just weird, and I mean, I'll come back to it when I talk, but it's just like, it's another one of those areas where like they just skip over, like, you know, it's kind of an important point where like people who, even if you're comic fans, but especially if you're not, like, you're like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I don't get this. Okay, I remember this ship from Man of Steel. Okay, it's kind of flooded here, and he's got access to it, but they're, you know, what's going on? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have this device that's going to take genetic material and just build stuff, combinations out of it.
Yeah. To whatever gets in this water, whatever the fuck, placenta juice, I don't know what the hell it was. But,
well,
yeah.
The Genesis Chamber, they did explain it, Man of Steel. And if you haven't seen Man of Steel, I definitely suggest it for anyone listening. Watch that first. You will not understand this movie if you haven't seen it.
That's true. And yeah, that was one of my points. Thank you for taking that from me.
Oh, well, good.
That was Chris's negative. You have to watch Man of Steel.
No, I like Man of Steel. Anyway, so the Genesis Chamber, it takes genetic information and then creates essentially artificial people out of it. They explain that a little bit at the beginning of Man of Steel because Clark Kal-El was naturally born, and on Krypton, Kryptonians weren't naturally born for centuries, and they kept
They
kept that codex, which included all of the genetic information for the entire race of Kryptonians, and that's where they generated their offspring from. And that's what that whole movie was about, was trying to pull that from Clark and put that information back into the codex so that they could respawn Krypton on Earth.
But are you really buying the whole part where Lex just hacks the whole thing by peeling off Zod's fingerprints?
James Bondish.
And then he goes in and he's like, tries to convince the computer to make that, to make Doomsday. And they're like, oh, we can't do that. He's like, well, everyone's dead, so you should do that. And they're like, okay, we'll do that.
She's like, duly noted. All right, let's start.
I didn't quite love that, but again, that's a nitpicky thing. That's not a big thing that I think really affected. That's a because comic book movie moment to me. It's just another one of those.
Going back to, because you kind of touched on if you hadn't seen this movie or hadn't seen Man of Steel, you're going to be lost in certain areas. I had watched a little bit of Man of Steel. I think I watched maybe the first part of the movie, hadn't finished it, but I ended up going back and watching it later that night on Sunday when I went to go see it. You're right. You definitely need to go see Man of Steel before you go watch this, especially just given the opening scene, which I thought was a really interesting way how they did it. They just basically Bruce Wayne's perspective on the end battle in Man of Steel where Superman is fighting Zod and just destroying Metropolis.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
To the point where it ended up, I guess they took down, was it Wayne Towers is what they
insurance. One of their insurance companies or something like that. I don't know what
it was. It was in Metropolis, right? But it was a different company that he had owned. And so it was really neat. And that's kind of what set up all of Bruce Wayne's hatred towards Superman, is that he ended up, just throughout, in his perspective, in his mind, he was responsible for all of the people who relied on him to be killed. And so that was kind of the impetus for what, launched the rest of the movie. But I thought it was really neat. But if you had gone into this movie not having seen Man of Steel, you would have been completely lost. I'm like, who are those people flying around fighting? And you're like, oh, hey, that's Superman, but who's that guy he's fighting? And it's like, okay, this is just, it wouldn't have made any sense. So that was one of my negatives. A lot of it relied on you having watched Man of Steel coming into this movie to really get the full effect and kind of get the full context of some of the scenes. And the Genesis Chamber scene was another good example of that. You really didn't know what this was. I don't think it really explained it a whole lot.
I just want to comment on that opening scene, though, of Bruce Wayne running through Metropolis. I thought that scene was darn near 100% incredible. I loved everything about that scene. The emotion on Ben Affleck and just him running into the cloud of dust as everyone else has run away from it. And say,
it really reminded me of 9/11, right?
Of course. They were absolutely trying to pull those strings. Yeah. And, grabbing the girl, saying, we're going to get your mom. Where's your mom? And she's crying and she points up at the busted building. And
never mind. Yeah, just come close.
so pissed.
Well, I hope you have a dad.
Anger. And that anger on his face, it's just, it was so good. It's
yeah, it's perfect.
A really, really incredible viewpoint on what was going on, seeing like what a real human being would be seeing on the ground. You know, when you're watching Man of Steel, it's all fun and games. They're punching each other through buildings. You're like, yeah, punch them through the building, and they laser each other and all that sort of stuff. But in reality,
that's a good point.
It'd be an absolutely terrifying moment for anyone else involved besides a movie watcher,
so,
if you're looking at something like
that. Yeah, I mean, in relation to that, which is a bit weird, like, it's this is some of the stuff that I, you know, I sort of nitpick a little bit, but there's little scenes like that where basically, like, him chasing into it and going driving through is, like, totally awesome and well done. But I find it a little bit crazy and absurd that, like, there's this device, this alien device that's basically destroying the city. And I don't know if they are extremely loyal to him or what, but basically, like, the entire, like, Wayne staff of that building is waiting for a call from their boss to, like, get permission to leave the building. Like, what the, like,
doing? Well, there's
like,
always...
What the, he's got a call, you know?
It's you think crazy. That like some sort like, of, like, they have fire, you know, fire exit drills and tornado drills, but if there's, like, a fucking monster, they don't know.
Yeah, there's the no drill. There's the drills of the shelter-in-place drill, which are, like, active shooters and stuff like that. And then there's, the escape. So maybe there's, like, fuck, yeah. So this is a shelter-in-place, or is this a, you know, maybe they were just doing...
I'm also always wondering why people just kind of stand there and then watch, you know, it coming down. Like, there's a giant...
Destruction?
Device. Yeah. You have people... But they're like, yeah, let's just stare at it. Maybe I'll die, but hey, it's a
every
good...
Every movie that I see something like this, whether it be this movie, Independence Day, or anything else, and it's taking place in an urban environment, I'm yelling internally at the TV or the movie screen, saying, just open a manhole and get in the sewer. That is like the safest place. Just go to the sewers. Go there.
Just turn your brain off, man. Just turn your brain off.
Who I would have been, you know that guy that when Wayne comes off the helicopter and the guy gives him the car, I would have been that guy who just gets back on the helicopter and just takes off, you know, immediately to another area, you know?
To the Batmobile.
It's like crazy. Yeah.
They don't pay me enough for this.
I'm like, that's true.
So, it's crazy.
One of the other things that some people have kind of discussed is the... the dream sequences with Batman, and so I want to get your guys' thoughts on that. I think there was three of them in total. One of which some people were saying was the opening where he was with the bats. They were saying that's a dream.
Yeah, that's
that was a dream. Then he had the dream inside of a dream where he. I guess it's up to interpretation whether the second one was a dream or if it was reality, but he's dreaming that was when we get to see Trenchcoat Batman, which I thought that costume looked pretty cool. But he's in like it looks like a post-apocalyptic setting, almost like Mad Max in a way. But he's coming to, I forget what he was trying to get. At the time,
he's trying to get kryptonite. Yeah, wasn't he trying to get kryptonite?
That's what it was. Yeah, he was trying to get that kryptonite. But then Superman comes with all of his like SS looking soldiers and starts killing everybody. And so this is what a future would look like if Superman went bad, which kind of continued to build on that distrust. And then he woke up, and then the Flash comes, you know, back in time and gives him this message that. I think he said something like that he has to save Lois or something, but then he's
yeah, she's the key.
Which I assume ends up meaning that at some point Lois Lane in that timeline, which you had just previously dreamed about, something is going to happen to her, which would turn Superman evil and cause him just to start killing everybody, which this is kind of what I took from it, at least.
Yeah, there's some imagery in that.
No, it's...
That is that represents Darkseid, a major DC Comics villain. The parademons is what they call them, the winged guys that came down and started snatching up all the other soldiers. Those are the minions of Darkseid. And so I assume, since they seem to be working with Superman, what they were trying to imply was that they were working together, that Superman and Darkseid had somehow taken over the planet. There was a... episode of the animated series of the Superman animated series where Superman goes into an alternate universe, or Lois goes into an alternate universe where she's dead, and that exact same thing happens. Superman goes completely authoritarian and takes over the planet with Lex Luthor, and it's a lot like that. So I don't know if that's what they were trying to imply. You know, it's going to happen in a future movie. I think Injustice, that story is similar to that one as well. I don't know the details of it. But I think it's supposed to be prophetic. I don't think it's necessarily just supposed to be a dream, especially connected to that Flash warning. I think at some point they're going to touch on it again, that it's not just dreams. Somebody somewhere is trying to reach out to Batman mentally, and there are certainly characters that can do that. I just don't know which one it was in the sense of this, in this movie's context.
Steve, what was your opinion on the Bat suit?
So, sorry, on the just those dream sequences or
both?
All of them.
So, I mean, so this is the tough part because this is sort of one of my sort of issues with this movie is sort of the insistent kind of way that Zach is trying to portray this information to people. Like, he slows things down and he'll show, you know, Bruce Wayne's sort of origin story kind of for Batman, which we've seen, you know, much before. But he also seems in a lot of ways he wants to, like, he knows what is coming down the road in Justice League, whatever the plans are for the DC Extended Universe, and he wants us to get there as quickly as possible, you know? And I think that his attachment, I mean, he's obviously a big comic book fan. He's very attached to that. And I think, unlike Marvel, who's, I think, a little bit slower in sort of how they dole out this information, I think Marvel makes sure, for the most part, that the hand that they're holding is still holding on. You know, they're kind of slowly pulling him through this universe and adding characters and stuff. And I think Zach's problem, especially in this one, is that he kind of jumps ahead and loses the person he's trying to bring with him along the way sometimes. And I think those dream sequences, you know, while he's very, you know, he's loving of the medium and comics and stuff, it's really jarring, I think, for people who are just casual people coming to see this movie, right? I think that most people are going to see that sequence and just wonder what the heck is going on. The same with, you know, the Kevin Costner sequence where it's his dad, right? Which seems a little bit out of place, but these sequences are interesting as far as, you know, giving a little insight. And sure, the whole dream sequence with the Flash and the future and the dark side symbol, you know, sort of the symbol leading etched in the earth and stuff like that. You have to be a hardcore fan, a fan, to really understand that this is a dark side connection. If you're not aware of that at all, which I think a lot of people are not, you're like, what the hell is going on? I don't get this at all. Who are these people? Who are these flying creatures? And that sequence goes on for a fairly long time. You know what I mean? It's not like it's a short, kind of abrupt dream sequence. It goes on for quite a few minutes. And Superman's involved. And I think people watching it are going to come out like completely clueless as to why that was in there and why it was necessary. And then the Flash showing up, and it's really hard to kind of tell it's the Flash initially. Like, if you're taking that by surprise, even the first time I was looking for it, I'm like, I think that's a Flash, but he's got like battle armor on, you know, and he raises it up and you're like, is that a Flash? And it comes so abruptly too. And you're like, whoa, is this real too? And why is this, who is this character? And why is he saying this to Bruce? And then they show the Flash again, you know, in modern day, in those files that, Wonder Woman has stolen from Lex. So it's this weird, like, kind of ebb and flow of, like, you know, like jumping forward and going back. Like, you'll show Bruce Wayne's origin, but then you won't show him that he's like a really good detective and analyzes people's weaknesses, right? This isn't something you really solve that much in the sort of the Dark Knight trilogy of movies, right? Batman Begins. He was cool, he had gadgets, but I don't think you really get a sense of the detective in him, how he researches people, he learns their mannerism stuff, and that's what he uses to defeat them. And that's why in the comics he's got, like, you know, he knows the weaknesses for all of the Justice League members and stuff, right? He's really, that's his thing. He's really smart at that. You see that in the fight with Superman where he's got, like, the sonic weapons and he's got the traps laid out for Superman. He knows exactly where he's going to end up, right? He's got that kryptonite spear and he throws into the ground exactly where they're going to end up because he knows the battle's going to end up there, right? Because that's his thing. But Zach jumps over that. He doesn't ever show the casual people, like, how is Batman this smart? What differentiates him from Superman? Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. where is this work in understanding Superman as a foe, and how does he know what Superman's weaknesses are and things like that, you know? So, I mean, if I had to say a big sort of weakness, and that goes with the dream sequence, is that it's this really stop, go. It's like, you know, he's running a sprint, and then someone at DC, you know, or Warner Brothers is like, well, whoa, slow down, you're jumping ahead too much. You know, you're getting lost, and so he slows down a little bit, and he fills in, you know? That's kind of a weird thing, and I just felt that while I liked it as a fan, I liked those dream sequences. I almost wish that he would have left those out in favor of some other sequences that sold the current characters and sort of their backgrounds a little bit better.
That's a good point. Anyone else have anything that you want to say on your dislikes before we move on?
I would like to say something.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm raising my hand, but no one can see me because I don't have video. Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to labor the Lex Luthor point too much. I think we've kind of talked about him a little bit already. And there is one other thing that I want to say that my big failing for the movie, like I said earlier, I think there's a lot of nitpicky things that you can talk about, but...
Yeah.
There's one to me as a fan, the large failing of the movie was how the death of Superman at the end was handled. And I'm very glad I don't have my video on right now because my wife laughs at me because anytime I talk about the death of Superman I start crying, and I cried in this movie. So there you go. I cried in this movie. There are other full grown human being dudes in the theater that were crying and admitted it afterwards.
I teared up a bit, but I didn't like it. Didn't come out of my tear ducts, but I was.
Right, I gotcha.
Yeah.
But my point is, there shouldn't have been a dry eye in the house when Superman dies in this movie. That is one of the saddest comics I've ever read in my life. It still hits me just thinking about it now. Anytime anything references that moment in comics, I have an emotional reaction to it, and. Because not everyone else did, I kind of feel like they did something wrong. And I think a lot of what they did, people will point to, well, this was too early. They didn't have enough Superman movies ahead of time. People didn't get to know the character. And maybe they could have established it that way, but I still think within the context of this movie, even within the context of that fight, they could have at least pulled out all the stops and started and pulled on the heartstrings a lot more of the audience than they did. You know, he goes out there. First of all, the fight takes place in this abandoned porch or wherever they were at night.
Yeah. No one's around, of course.
No one else is around. No one else sees it. So it's like a tree falling in the woods.
Isn't that kind of funny, though? Because isn't that what Lex's whole purpose was, to show the world? Superman was just a man. None of the news stations were reporting that. They were all showing video of all the shit that's going on in the building.
Right. So, they should have had a camera crew there. They should have had a helicopter flying around shooting it. And with people massing around their TVs, you know, I think the sun
team
should have...
Team Batman and Team Superman.
Yeah, something. I don't know. But for the Doomsday fight, specifically. Because they're tearing shit up, and stuff is blowing up, and there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So, yeah, you would think that they'd be at least trying to put something on there to be watching what's going on. And I think if you got those reactions of, like, the people around Metropolis or wherever they are, watching those moments on TV, maybe showing some of, like, the douchebag protester types who are watching, and they actually seem concerned, you know, the ones that are protesting at the Capitol. That sort of thing. I think that would have helped sell a little bit that these people really care about him, because up to that point, you're not really sure how the mass population feels about him.
I totally agree.
There's so many little things, so many little moments that they set up in that last sequence right before he dies. It's like, as a fanboy, I know, like, I could have done it better, but God, if you just had the chance to get that script and write like little things in here, it's like, take this out and just do this and just do this. It would have been so amazing. And, I mean, can you imagine, like, if while he's flying towards Doomsday, you know, he's struggling. He can barely fly because he's holding that kryptonite spear. And so he doesn't have his powers at full strength, and he's just done his big goodbye to Lois and stuff. And let's say he stumbles and, like, hits something, and he's trying to get up. And at that point, Batman's not been doing much during this fight. because what the fuck is he going to do?
He can't really do a lot.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, he's been doing, he's been trying to distract while Wonder Woman was...
He's, like, throwing rocks at him and stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, think about, like, if Batman was rushing over to him, like, yelling, give me the spear, let me do it, and if Superman kind of, like, stood up and, like, and turned to Batman and gave him that little wave off that Superman's father gave him before he died. Like, no, this is mine. I got this. I have.
You could even have just, like, kind of like a little hark back to that whole scene. Like,
yeah.
You know how that to do.
Just like, yeah, just turns around, waves off, and then goes forward, and then pushes forward. Like, it's his to do, and Batman would have reacted to that. And I think that would have sold the connection between Batman and Superman more than their mothers being, you know, the same name.
That blew my mind, though, by the way. Yeah, I could never made that connection.
Yeah, I haven't either. That's pretty funny.
I have to agree. Like, you know, I think you're totally right about the human factor of it. And, you know, it's. I think that would have added a lot. I mean, I hate to bring up kind of a cheesy movie, but, you know, you bring up, like, Armageddon, right? Bruce Willis movie. And I think what makes that, those moments in that movie, I have to bring this, and this is the only time that Armageddon's going to be referenced with Superman v. Superman. But it's a world event, right? Armageddon is a world event, and you see people from all over the world, right? They're on their TVs or listening on the radios to see what it is. And you see when the success or something bad happens, you see the emotion on the faces of people all around the world. That should have been the same case here, right? You have no frame of reference. This should be a world event. It's freaking like Superman going against this. You know what I mean? That's like, there's no way the whole world is not watching this, right? There should have been that kind of emotional attachment, and, you know, just that single tear of the little girl watching the TV crying or something, or a tear comes down after the death of Superman, would have been amazing, because otherwise you get a problem. Like, this is another case where Transformers, where I lost interest in Transformers, because there's a scene in Transformers where there's a giant battle happening in the city with Transformers, right? And the camera pans down, and there's a bunch of people who are just drinking coffee in a coffee shop, right? I'm like, how can you have this giant battle going on, and it's just like there's people who are just drinking coffee. There's no attachment to the battle at all, and I think that's what this death of Superman is like. There's no human attachment or importance, and because there isn't that in the movie, you kind of don't feel that same wave or obligation to feel the same way, I think, when you're watching it.
That's a good point. That is a really good point. And the only thing I think I have to add to that is I definitely think the way you kind of laid out what they could have done, Requiem, it would have worked. But I think if they had just saved Doomsday for a Superman movie where they could have really played that whole up, really took the time to build all that and spent that investment and to do all the things that you had mentioned, I think that would have made it all the more impactful. And I don't think that, you know, I don't know what's going to end up happening with Superman leading into the Justice League movie. If they plan on having him still killed off for the Justice League movie, or if they're going to bring him back, it makes even less sense because they could have just brought him back for that movie and then maybe killed him off in the next Man of Steel movie or whatever that's going to end up being.
We'll talk about it more when we get to round five, I guess, as far as like what we think about the DC universe. I think I don't have a problem with Doomsday now, and I don't have a problem with him dying now, given what I think is going to happen as far as the DC universe setup is going forward. So we'll save it for then.
Very well. Fine. Let's go into round four then.
Yeah.
What we think of the critical response. So as probably everyone listening to this knows, I mean, the movie got really bad reviews heading into it. Let's just see. I think at one point I looked, it had like an 11 or something like that. Right now it has a 29% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
What is it right now?
It was great.
29.
It was great because I was watching this like... 29. I think it was on NeoGAF where, like, as it kept dropping, they were comparing it to other movies. Like, oh, it's past the shadow. Now it's like it's Pootie Tang. And then like,
Paul Blart Mall Cop and Super Mario Brothers has a higher run to make. I was like, there's no way this is worse than Super Mario Brothers. I think that's fucking ridiculous. And Paul Blart has a higher rating. Like,
but that's all the same policy that people do video game reviews, though, too. They're like, oh, I believe IGN gave, you know, like, Metal Gear Solid a 7, and they gave, you know, like, Wii Sports a 9. It's the same, you know, yeah. with that. That logic doesn't work. But and so yeah, there's just an overwhelming, and I really don't understand where this came from. I don't know if it almost seems like Zack Snyder is kind of the director that everyone's loving to kind of hate on these days. And I don't know if you guys see that, but what was your, I guess, overall reaction and some of your thoughts heading into the movie before you went and saw it, but you saw all these negative reviews in the days ahead?
For who?
I don't want to go first. I've been talking a lot. Someone else go first.
I'll jump in there. Like, I was shocked. Like, I was almost laughing hysterically. I mean, it obviously happens in the games industry, happens in any other industry where there's a review sort of thing, but it's just ridiculous. And I can only imagine Zach, like, if he's looking at the scores, he's like, seriously, what the, you know, like it's just unrealistic, and it's just bonkers. And I don't really, you know, it's really tough to understand what causes that. Like, you know, if like people forget comparisons. I mean, it's not like Marvel has a perfect record with movies, right? But even their sort of movies that I've disliked the most, like, you know, whether it's like Iron Man, you know, 2 or 3 or whatever, you know, whatever things that I sort of dislike, it's like those are not even close to the level as far as lowness in reviews as this. And you know, people say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory, people love Marvel stuff and people, but it's got to be more than that. And it's just like, it's a really weird, when you see situations like this, I don't know if it's because it's just cooler to say, like, because everyone's so hyped for it, it's just cooler to say, like, no, you know, like, mm-hmm. you guys are suck, you know, I don't know what you got hyped for, but, you know, I wasn't hyped for it, and thank goodness for that, because this thing sucks, haha, Zack Snyder fooled you. But the scores that it has now is absolutely ridiculous. You know, like, even if you have some problems with that film, it is still a solid movie. I mean, it's not like it's, like, jarring, really jarring anyway, you know what I mean? Yes, there's pacing issues and content issues and just things there, but there's nothing in there that's so, like, offensive or so bad when you compare it to the history, even recent history of movies, bad movies that have come out. It's like nothing, right. You know, this is nowhere in the remotely the same league, I don't think, you know? So I completely sort of disagree that. Do I think it deserves, like, a super high rating? No, of course not. But I think that the level that it is now is just completely ridiculous and unfair for, I think, what they managed to accomplish, especially in relation to the past DC movies that have come out, Green Lantern, etc.
Yeah, Green Lantern, that's a good comparison to that. Marcin, do you have anything to add to that one?
I was just, like, looking up the Rotten Tomatoes, and I was, like, comparing it to other Batman movies, and I'm like, I think it's better than Batman Forever.
It's absolutely.
And Batman Forever is, like, not that far off from the reviews for that. And I feel just really bad for Ben Affleck, because I know he wanted to be like, man, I'm going to be Batman. I want this to be a better performance.
Yeah.
In the, you know, and then he gets hit with this shit, and I'm sure you guys have seen the video that went around
I don't want to watch it. I feel bad. I don't want to see it.
And so basically, you know, they're doing their press tour, and you got Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck sitting down, and you got the journalists asking them questions. And halfway through the interview, they said the reviews came in, and he said that, you know, they weren't good. And then it basically just quiets down, and then Simon Garfunkel's Sound of Silence starts playing. And then they just start slowly zooming into Ben Affleck's face. He's not saying anything. He's just looking off, like, to the far right corner, probably, like, into the corner of the journalist. And then while they're just slowly zooming in, like, Henry Cavill's talking and explaining, you know, to him, and they're just zooming in on his face, and Simon and Garfunkel's
Yeah.
I assume it was a knock at Watchmen because it was Zack Snyder's movie too.
Yeah.
You know, I just felt bad for Ben Affleck because I think he was the best part of the movie, and most people who went to see it said Ben Affleck was the best part of the movie. So I wish he had a standalone movie, you know, and like maybe he feels bad like this was his first going, and then you know he had to get this sort of reaction, and I feel bad for him because it wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't like fucking Paul Blart Mall Cop. You know, it wasn't fucking Super Mario Brothers. Like, I don't understand. So yeah, that's my.
Yeah, I've seen on Twitter and other social media stuff, and I kind of cringed, Stephen, when you mentioned Transformers, because I've seen people say that they think, you know, they're talking like this is the Transformers of superhero movies. I'm like, what movie did you see? Because it's absolutely not that bad. I mean, okay, I did enjoy this movie, and there are aspects of Transformers as a fan of the old cartoon show that I like, but I recognize how horrible that movie is, objectively. Yeah. This is not one that I watch, enjoy, and then go, meh. That one's still pretty good, and then I feel like I'm turning those blinders on completely, because I feel like I can do that, recognize that it's flawed, and it's absolutely flawed, and it's absolutely not for everybody, and it's absolutely not for kids. Don't take young kids to see this movie, but it's still enjoyable. It's got a lot in it that's really amazing. There's a lot of really, really, really good stuff in this movie. It's just peppered with some really weird things, and I think it's almost like rallying points of criticism points, like, oh, Lex Luthor does this Jolly Rancher thing, and that's just really crazy, and likening him to the Joker when he's not that over the top, but it becomes the new meme, and then Transformers of superhero movies becomes the thing, and people keep just hammering this same sort of, you know, a bumper sticker sort of narrative about this movie, and I just don't, I think it's just a bandwagon thing as far as social media goes. I don't understand the critic response to it. But I don't know. I don't know what kind of movie they thought they were going to go see. Like I said, it's not the happy-go-lucky Marvel movie. The fight was different. Yeah. The pacing was different. The type of story they were trying to tell was different. It is cluttered as far as the amount of information that's in it. And so, yeah, that's a complaint. But I don't think it derails the movie to a 29% level.
It's crazy.
I do like the way that they just took a completely different approach to the movie than from what Marvel is doing. And I think it's a smart way to do it. If you're going to, you know, build this, and we'll talk about, more about this in the next segment, but if you're going to do this, I think it's a smart way to go. And I think a lot of people, like you said, they came into this, and I think they had the expectations that it's going to be a Marvel superhero movie, and it was not that. And so because it wasn't that, they just decided, okay, it's not Marvel. It doesn't feel like Marvel, then it must be bad, rather than, you know, taking a more objective look on it and kind of looking at it on its own merits and saying, okay, you know, it doesn't do everything right, but it's also not completely bad and wrong either. And I think that's definitely where it kind of ends up there. And I just think, like, you know, what we already mentioned, it became one of these things that it's just trendy to hate on, and everyone just kind of started doing this bandwagon thing with it. But the good news is that it did fairly well in the box office. I think it ended up doing really well.
Yeah, he's crying into his money. He won't give a fuck after this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel sorry for Ben Affleck too much.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the drop-off is this weekend. You know, it's interesting. If the critic stuff carries forth and it was the marketing that made this weekend, or if it has still a pretty decent, strong weekend this coming weekend.
Yeah, because that was one of the important things that, because I think they spent a considerable amount of money on marketing this movie, and so that was one of the things is the movie just going to be too big a fail? Are they putting too much money into it? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is the negative reviews and the reviews of fans coming out of the movie, is that going to affect it, the word of mouth and that kind of thing? And so it's going to be it's going to be really interesting to see and see how that might impact the series going forward. And then here soon, Suicide Squad is going to be coming out, which I think has a much smaller budget than this movie. So if it ends up doing, if it ends up making more profit, or if it does something comparable numbers wise, it'll be interesting to see if they change any kind of focus, or if they decide, okay, we're not going to do separate movies for each of the characters of Justice League. We're going to, you know, focus on some of the more core characters, and then, you know, just the Justice League movies or something like that. So
is Ben Affleck in Suicide Squad?
He has
briefly, I think.
Yeah, Batman appears. I don't remember if it's even him. you know, he may not be.
That would be dumb if they didn't, like, they just introduced him and then they'd have another Batman
no,
show up.
I don't mean that he's, like,
he's
another
just
actor.
Like,
the
show up.
Actual
I
actor,
that,
the actual actor.
Yeah. That it would be a Batman cameo, but maybe he doesn't say anything. He's not a large presence in the movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I mean,
just
honestly,
like,
because you've
seen footage of Batman or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the top of Joker's car, at least, you know, if, I mean, unless they're misleading us. So there's at least that scene where for some reason when he's with Harley, or I assume he's with Harley, but that Batman's on top of his car.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I was referring to, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that preview, I guess.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's go into round five now, unless anyone has anything else they want to say there. Are we good?
I'm looking forward to Suicide Squad. I think the cast for that is also real well done. I think Harley Quinn, who is played by... I forgot her name. Shit. Either way, the actress
Bale.
Who plays Harley Quinn... Christian Bale, thank you. Yeah, there you go.
no.
Margot Robbie, sorry. She looks like
Margot,
a great
Margot
Harley...
Robbie,
she looks like a great Harley Quinn from the trailer.
Yeah.
Really, really, really good.
Really good.
Really good. And I am curious about Jared Leto's Batman, because based off the trailer, it looks like he's going to pull off a hell of a performance. Yes, right. Will Smith, I don't know. Will Smith.
I'm not a big fan. You know, Will Smith, I think, is not because I dislike Will Smith, but it's just that, like, I just felt that a lot of the casting of the other characters was really good, and it was like, oh, we need to have someone here who has some, you know, maybe more clout or more something. We got to get someone for the lead, so let's get Will Smith or someone. But it just seemed, I don't know, it was kind of jarring to me, you know. And I would have been happier. Like, I'm concerned for him being in it for some reason. I don't know why.
Are you afraid he might
overshadow
like everyone else?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, or they're going to feel that they're going to have to give him too much screen time or something, you know, versus some of the other characters. I would have been happier if they cast someone else of a similar level, some of the other characters, actors, you know, for Deadshot's role.
Danny Glover.
Happier about them. Danny Glover.
Marlon Wayans.
Yeah. Predator 3.
He was Blank Man, right? So he's been in some great movies before.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited about that. In some ways, I'm more excited about Suicide Squad than I was about, you know, Batman v Superman. And I think it's because, you know, I don't quite know what to expect. I know the comics really well. I love the comics. But you know, going to Batman v Superman, you can kind of. Zach's done a lot of movies before, a similar line, you know, comic book adaptation or things. You kind of know what to expect a little bit, even though he kind of turned it upside down in some ways. But I think Suicide Squad is sort of a little bit of an unknown in ways. But I think it could do really well because I think there's going to be a lot of people who's like, oh, yeah, these are a bunch of bad guys. It's kind of cool to like the bad guys. So, you know, you can like your Superman and your Batman, but, you know, I'm all about the, you know, Slipknot or whatever, you know, like some of these some criminals. I think it has a really good chance of doing really well, I think, at the box office, in relation to how much they're spending on it.
Why does the Joker have a grill? I don't understand why.
Yeah. Batman is because
he's OG. He's the OG.
Because I didn't watch, you know, I didn't read Suicide Squad, so I don't know. I mean, I know his look was different. I still don't understand why they're doing this or why the government thought it would be a good idea to have a group of villains be a superhero, you know, squad. That I mean, I've never read it, so I don't know. So
comics,
I don't know if you guys have read
it.
It's
just like, you know, it's just that idea of Amanda Waller has that basically, like, she's got all these criminals. Here's an opportunity to, like, you know, no one cares about these guys, basically. You know, here's a chance for us to, like, send them out on these missions where we expect that they'll die, you know. We don't want any sort of, you know, we can have deniability on that because if something happens, you know, it's none of our guys really doing it. So it's kind of a safe kind of thing for them, and they can get sent into these shitstorms where if they die, no big deal. And we could always say, yeah, we're shortening your sentence, your life sentence or whatever it is. Haha, that makes you feel better. But we're just going to basically use you and abuse you as we need to whenever we want because we're the government, right? And we have the – we can attention to this because no one cares about you because you're the scum, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, that makes a bit of sense. Yeah.
Let's move on to round five. What we think of the future of the DC movie universe going forward?
Well, we touched on it a bit with Suicide Squad. What's the one that's what's after Suicide Squad?
Suicide
I don't think of anything
Squad,
else.
Wonder Woman, right?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Justice League Part 1.
So it'll be next year, yeah. though, like, right? There's nothing else
2016
in 2016.
2017 is Wonder Woman, yeah.
2017, yeah. June
2017 is Wonder Woman and Justice League Part 1, apparently. Part 1? Yeah.
Huh. They better hurry on that. I mean, if he's just starting, I mean, geez, like, you better get cracking on that.
They start filming Justice League next month.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think Wonder Woman's done. I think they've filmed it.
So Zack Snyder is
yeah,
also
pretty close.
Justice League?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Aquaman is... So wait, Justice League comes out in 2017, and then they're releasing movies based on those characters after the fact?
Yeah, they're doing the reverse of Marvel, or the opposite of Marvel, where, you know, Marvel wants you sort of to feel for these different characters, and then they form the team, which is probably the better way to go, but unfortunately, due to the DCU's accelerated pace here, I don't think they really have a choice, and they've got to, like, sell these guys as a cool team, and then say, like, hey, you love this team, why not watch an Aquaman movie now?
And so you think it's yeah. like a marketing decision, right? Because if they released an Aquaman movie before the Justice League, they figured it won't be as hot because it's Aquaman.
No one cares. Yeah, exactly.
Aquaman.
Which is weird.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing because like the same people said the same thing about Iron Man, right? I mean, honestly,
right.
they did.
Yeah.
Like Iron Man at that time was like a second or third tier character, right? And Marvel's yeah. like, well, we don't have access, we don't have the rights to some of our cooler characters, you know, at the time. So we've got to make this guy cool, and they focus on that, and they did. And I think that Warner Brothers is just afraid that they're not able to do that, you know, like they aren't able to take Aquaman or you know, Cyborg or whoever and right now make a cool movie. And I think that they also are on such an accelerated pace, you know, having seen the money that Avengers made to make that group movie, and I don't think there's time right now, you know. They're just like, we got to get a Justice League movie done, and then we can worry about the rest afterwards, you know. And I think that instead of planning the next, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years, I think they're still kind of playing it by ear and just kind of going step by step versus Marvel, which regardless has some sort of outline or plan, you know, that they're heading towards, and they're taking it a little bit more methodical than Warner Brothers and DC is.
And they just to be fair, Marvel has that plan now. I don't think they had that plan
when
Iron Man 1 was released. And so you got to give DC and Warner Brothers a little bit of leeway. Say, okay, they're starting this now. They've got Man of Steel. They've got Batman, Superman. That's it. They've only got those two movies to spring forward from, whereas Marvel had Iron Man and The Incredible Hulk. Those were the first two, I think. So, their path forward, I think, for them was much less clear, and it has since crystallized, and they've got these big Wave 1, Wave 2, Wave 3, however they want to term it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure, but you know, but I think.
Point.
Sorry, I guess the thing I wanted to say is that I just felt that even from the beginning that, and to your point, is that they took it one sort of movie at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, especially in the early days, like they said, okay, we got Iron Man, that's a success. What's our next one that we have to make sure is good, and what's the next one we have to make sure that's good? And now that we've managed to get a couple of these movies that people really like, we can start playing the future. And I think that, you know, Warner and DC are thinking a little bit far ahead without having that one movie. Hopefully this is it. Batman v Superman is that decently sized success, but they, you know, they're kind of planting their stakes way ahead before they have that solid ground to stand on, I think. And I think that's probably their biggest problem right now.
So, yeah, you know. That's good. Good point. I mean, it's tough to really kind of argue with that. It's unfortunately, DC, you know, and Warner, they're playing catch up right now, and trying to match what Marvel and them have been doing with their movies, and it's going to be tough to do at this point. But I think the right approach would have just been to maybe take it slow and continue to build it. But I don't necessarily think it's a bad move to go ahead and, you know, do this movie, jump into a Justice League movie. I think it's going to be sometime. Is it late next year that they plan on doing Justice League?
It's late 2017, I think.
I think Wonder Woman's first.
Wonder Woman's in June. I don't remember exactly what the date for Justice League is.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of doing a Wonder Woman movie. I think it's going to be it's going to be really good. I'm really excited to see that. Just the little bit that we saw of Wonder Woman in this movie really got me excited to see a full movie with just her. And I think she's really interesting. The one character that I'm not really I don't really care too much about is going to be Cyborg. I think I just never have been too interested in his character throughout all of the Justice League. I definitely want to see an Aquaman movie at some point as well. So I think they've got room to go through this, and it's going to be interesting too if they expand it beyond. I don't know if they've talked about that, if they're going to expand it beyond like the Justice League and these core characters at some point.
Well,
they're already doing it with the Suicide Squad, but I don't know.
Yeah, they're talking about doing a sequel to Suicide Squad, so you imagine that there'd be something else coming from that. And Green Lantern Corps comes after the Justice League. And I'm not sure if there's there hasn't been a Green Lantern cast yet. So if they're filming Justice League next month, I don't think Green Lantern's in it.
No, and I would be surprised. I think they're gonna. Yeah, I'd be surprised if it was.
I think a lot of people, when they think about DC and Warner Brothers' path forward, are getting a little bit too hung up on Justice League being the same movie for DC as Avengers was for Marvel. Mm-hmm. And given the way this Batman v Superman movie ended with Superman dying, I think the path forward for Warner Brothers has become a lot more interesting and has made that Justice League movie a completely different movie than the Avengers. I don't think it's going to be a giant earth-shattering fight, 2 hours long of all these characters just showing up and fighting things. I think it's going to be a very different movie with Batman and Wonder Woman trying to go around recruiting these other people. Maybe successfully, maybe unsuccessfully. Possibly they're unsuccessful in JLA Part 1, recruiting Aquaman, for instance, which would make sense given his character, and then he goes off and does his solo movie. But, they're going to have this big shadow over them. They're going to have the shoes of Superman to fill, because who wouldn't follow him into battle as far as, these other heroes? So I need you to come with me.
I let him do all the work, man.
And you get behind behind him and you go. But if it's Batman and Wonder Woman, no one in this universe knows who Wonder Woman is. And Batman is this crazy dude that they all think is a lunatic. He murders people in this movie. And it seems like he's been out of play for several years. At least I got that impression from this movie. So why would someone like the Ezra Miller version of Flash, respond to these guys and go, yeah, this sounds like a really great idea. I think there's going to be a lot. That JLA Part 1, I don't have any idea what that movie is anymore. If Superman was still alive and they were going off and doing these sorts of things, that's what I would expect. I would expect it to be Avengers, except, take Loki out, put in Darkseid, put in the JLA or Justice League where the Avengers were, and that's your movie. But I don't think that's the case at all, and I'm really, really interested to see where they go.
I bet you. I bet you that Superman's going to come back at the end of that movie. I bet you it's going to be like another tease at the end.
I don't have
a feeling about
that's
that. I don't know.
Yes, there's a story. There's a Justice League book that's called Justice League: The Nail, and it's about the Justice League forming. It's in a different universe, an Elseworlds book, whatever you want to call it. It's in a universe where Superman never showed up. These other superheroes, Batman, Green Lantern, all these other ones still exist, and they do form the Justice League, but they exist without Superman, and things don't go quite right for them. I don't remember exactly how it played out until at the very end it's revealed that Superman has been on Earth this whole time. He just never came out as Superman. He was just on a farm doing his farm thing and never stepped into the limelight, did what his father, kind of implied that he should do in these Man of Steel movies where it's like, you could be a father or a farmer, Clark. You could just, there's honor in that. And that's all he did. Yeah. That was his entire life. And then he steps into the role at the end of that movie, or into that book. And it wouldn't surprise me if they do something and pull some of that, where maybe he's already alive. Maybe he has come back to life. You know, we saw the dirt lift. Maybe, you know, you don't see Lois Lane. You don't see his mom. Maybe he comes back and just lives on the farm with Lois and his mother and just has a simple life for a few years while everyone else is doing stuff.
I could do a lot less Lois Lane in the next movie.
Yeah. You could do a lot less?
Lot less.
I mean, I thought she played a lot. She took a lot of screen time.
You don't like Lois Lane or you don't like Amy Adams?
She's fine, but I don't know. She's just not that interesting a character to me.
I like this version of Lois Lane.
She's fine.
I wonder, I have one thought and I got a couple of questions for you that I want you guys to answer. Is like the first one, I wonder if they're going to bother to bring back Clark Kent or not. Once Superman does, if they're going to want to devote some screen time to the Clark character or not, like, you know, whether was found under rubble or whatever they did, like the comics. So that's an interesting thing if they just decide to give up on Clark Kent. And the other thing I wanted to, talking about the future of the sort of the extended universe and Warner Brothers, do you guys feel, one, like, that the sort of lack of Marvel-esque humor should be something that is kind of kept to differentiate these movies? Or do you feel that they should probably try to introduce a little bit of that humor and tone down some of that seriousness to keep, you know, some of the casual people, you know, coming along for the ride? And the second thing is, I'm curious what you guys think of, like, keeping, you know, the DC TV shows very much sort of separated from the DC sort of cinematic universe, if you want to call it that. Like, does that hurt it, or does it really matter in the long, you know, long scheme of things?
I think that the way when it comes to DC, well, let's start knocking them out. Yes. So when you were talking about DC versus Marvel, I do think, I'm going to throw in a video game reference. Just keep it like, you know, how Sega was versus Nintendo. One had more kiddie stuff and it was brighter and happier, and then the other one was more grittier and, you know, attitude and stuff like that. So I think it'd be a good idea to have the yin to the yang, you know, in an opposite brand, so to speak. I mean, Dark Knight movies worked. And, you know, they were successful. So I think they should just continue that sort of tone. There could be a bit of humor. Like we saw in Batman versus Superman, there's a little bit of banter, but it wasn't like, you know, like how it was in the Avengers or, you know, or anything like that. There's definitely a difference in tone, when it comes to the humor. That Clark Kent question that you answered, did they put him in an obituary, or was it just he's missing at the end?
He's in the newspaper. He's in the newspaper. Like, basically, Clark Kent, right, is like, when he opens up the newspaper, he's like, Clark Kent missing or gone or something like that.
Yeah, and they have they have two funerals. They have a funeral for Clark on the farm. I assume they expect he's dead. That's the body that's buried is Clark, so they bury him as Clark Kent.
That's true.
The family knows it, right? The public. But okay, first of all, does in the movie, do people know that Clark Kent is Superman?
No.
Okay.
No.
First of all, people are fucking stupid because he just has to turn off the glasses and he looks obviously like Superman. Like, I've never understood that, I still don't get it.
It's just, you don't ask.
That's like the Jimmy Kimmel. Have you guys seen the Jimmy Kimmel skit?
I watched that. Yeah, they were like, he showed the deleted scene. He's like, yeah, you're Superman, aren't you? Yeah.
He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, and you're Batman. He's like, yeah. He's like, he's like the Superman. He's like, no.
He's like, he put the phone over his head. He's like, yeah, you're Batman. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like hilarious.
But yeah, because I was like, okay.
What do you think about the?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but I was curious what you thought about, like, the separation of the TV, and the sort of the movie universes. If is good for them, or do you think they should try to join those together?
Yeah. That's a good question, because on the Marvel side, when they make a TV show, I don't think those even interact with the movie characters, right? They're their own thing. So they never made not making a Jessica Jones movie, and they're not making a Daredevil movie as far as I know. Are they?
But there's lots of references. But there's lots of references. They talk about, like, Jessica Jones, they talk about the Avengers New York battle.
Yeah, they
battle,
do reference
and they,
them, yeah.
You know, they do a lot of, yeah, they do a lot of referencing, trying to make it feel like it's the same universe, where it seems like DC is almost deliberately trying to make it feel like it's, you know, separate.
I do feel like I might prefer it a bit more to be connected, because, you know, they have the Flash, and it's a different actor in the TV series, and they have someone else.
I was disappointed.
Yeah, I was a bit, yeah. I do agree. I think when it comes to TV and movies, I think they should link them together. If you're going to make The Flash, just use The Flash in the freaking TV series, you know?
Yeah.
Unless there's some sort of issue or something.
I think everyone really likes that version of The Flash, so it's going to be hard to swap for some people. They like the Grant Gustin Flash.
Yeah, but
well,
I agree.
I hated what Zach said, which is basically, see, like, the people are asking, like, why you didn't use Grant, and it's like, because basically he said that the tone of the movies is very different than the tone of the, you know, the TV shows. And I'm like, well, but you look at the TV shows are still kind of dark. Arrow is dark, especially dark. I mean, yes, Flash on TV is a little bit lighthearted at times, but it has some very dark scenarios with their villains and stuff. So I kind of disagree with Zach, sort of, like, if that is the reason that he's officially toting, where, like, the tone of the cinematic universe is different from the TVs. I don't really see it that way, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he may want to do something different with The Flash. I expect that Ezra Miller's version and rendition of him is going to be very different than the way the characters played, I think. One of the things that you asked is about the humor of the characters or the humor of the movies. I hope that both Cyborg and Flash being introduced to these guys will lighten the mood a little bit, especially Flash. So, I mean...
Yeah.
Aquaman will be a very solemn force, you know, the kingly, you know, ruler of the seas and all that sort of thing. And Batman's never funny, and Batman's always dark, but he's funny in comparison to other characters. That's when he can be funny, when played off against someone who's a little bit off color from him. So that will make that interesting. So I'm hoping that they do play on that, and The Flash is an opportunity to do that. It's hard to know what they're thinking, but I think they still have opportunities to do that in their own way without necessarily having to be Tony Stark standing with his arms wide in front of a giant explosion making jokes about, you know, sleeping with women and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right.
And I killed it.
One thing I'm interested, just kind of before we end, I think they said that when it comes out on Blu-ray and DVD, there's going to be like 30 additional minutes to.
Yeah, it'll be over 3 hours long. I'm really excited to watch that. Actually, I'm really excited.
Did you guys see the sequence that was released? What was it, yesterday or whatever? The one with basically what looks like Steppenwolf, right? Which is basically the lieutenant for Darkseid, and they had the mother cubes.
Oh, is that who that's supposed to be?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, like, the horns, and I mean, he looks different, but if you look at the shape of the horns and the armor, that looks pretty similar to what he wears in the comic. So I believe that would be him. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can see it on YouTube. There's a video that Warner Brothers released of Lex Luthor, essentially when he's being arrested, and he's inside the Kryptonian ship, and he's talking to somebody or whatever it is. It's like a 30-second, maybe a minute long deleted scene, and I didn't know who that was, but actually that makes sense that that's who that is.
And he's got basically the mother cubes, which allow him to transport out, so it's like it derealizes him and warps him away. So it makes more sense when you see that. It makes more sense Luther's saying, like, look, you know, the bell has been rung, you know, they know, because without that, you're like wondering at the end, right, when he's gone all crazy in the jail cell, like, what are you talking about? Like, who knows or what? But I think hopefully when those scenes are added in, it'll give a lot more context to those comments.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it also implies, though, that he didn't get those from the Kryptonian ship. He had to have gotten those from somewhere else, because I don't see why the Kryptonians would have had those on their ship. And that might explain where Lex Sr. is.
Yeah, it could be. Like, yeah. I mean, who knows, right? It's interesting, and it makes sense that they cut it out, but I'm very interested to see what the full R-rated director cut is going to be like.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if it's going to feel a little bit more fleshed out or not.
Yeah, I think a lot of people's complaints about is that it seems to jump around, about the cut version of the movies, that seems to jump around too much without enough characterization. I'm hoping that longer version will add that back in, like the longer version of Watchmen did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, no, we'll see.
All right, I think it's probably a good spot to end the show this week. If you guys have any comments or anything like that, be sure to let us know in the comments for the podcast post on the website, or you can tweet to us on Twitter. It's at Sega Nerds, or on Facebook, it's facebook.com/TheSegaNerds. Or if you want, you can email and give us your thoughts. It's SegaNerds@gmail.com. So I think it's going to be it. Steven, thanks again for coming on the show.
Oh, no, I had a blast. It was awesome. Yeah, for sure. Before Justice League.
we'll come back. And hopefully before Wonder Woman, too, we'll find another movie that we can all dissect.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Will Smith, Jared Leto.
Yeah.
So let us know if you guys would like to do a Suicide Squad review and focus spoiler podcast. So you let us know what you want. So, all right, that's going to do it for this week. We will be back next week. Take it easy.
Alfred, this is impossible. How about next time I catch the fish and you make the fire laser eyes?
Oh, yeah, about that. I just remembered. I can fly. I got a date with a cheeseburger.
Peace! Oh, you son of a... This is the wrong outfit for a desert island.
Winner.
No one's ever finished a plate of our Inferno hot wings. On your mark, get set, go!
Little does he know I've added ghost peppers to my diet bit by bit for the last 20 years!
Little does he know that as Superman, I have the most sensitive taste buds on Earth. Oh my God!
Winner.
Justin said his dad could beat up anybody.
Justin sure talks a big game.
You leave my dad alone.
Now hang on, son. Let your old man handle this. You know I boxed a little in college.
Tie. To find out who really wins, go see Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Only in theaters.
Yeah.
Dad.
Really wish I hadn't just canceled our health insurance.